Welcome to the Investor Coaching Show, a podcast to help you get an insider's view of the financial world and escape common investment traps. We look at the financial news of the day and help you make sense of it so you can relax about money. And here's your host, Paul Winkler.
All right, Paul Winkler, I'm back on the Investor Coaching Show, talking money and investing. So let's walk through this. There was somebody asked this question. We got into this conversation, and I thought it was a really worthwhile conversation because when you understand these things about investing that I think are so critical, you don't get pulled into things that you shouldn't be doing. And sometimes it's, you know, people go, I don't want to know all this stuff, Paul. I don't want to know everything. I don't expect you to want to know everything. But there are certain things, if you understand them, A, I believe you worry less, you relax more about money, but you also are more discerning on the advice that you're getting, and you're better at figuring out whether it's worth listening to. And then maybe you go, wait. I heard a story this week. Lady, I'm not doing anything. She's telling this one advisor, I'm not doing anything with my money. I'm not going to change advisors, nothing. And this is a person in another part of the country that does what I do. So I'm listening with rapt attention because this is the kind of stuff you hear. I really love my advisor. I really love what I'm doing. And she's saying, well, I'm not telling you to do anything. I just want you to become more educated about what you're doing. Make up your own mind afterward. And you and I are still friends if you don't do anything. And she goes, okay, I'll listen. So she actually, to her credit, she sat down and looked at her investment portfolio with this friend of mine. And the friend of mine points out that she doesn't own, but I think it was like 30 stocks was it. And she didn't have any exposure to small companies in the portfolio. Value, no exposure. You know, historically, value companies, 20-year periods, 96% of the time, have historically had a higher return than growth companies. She didn't have exposure to any of that. She didn't have diversification internationally. Forget about it. It wasn't there. And she started learning about the academic research and how when you engage in greater diversification in the portfolio and you actually have more diversification, how it can affect the risk of the portfolio significantly. And risk is huge. People ignore risk all the time. And then she was looking at what's called non-systematic risk. In English, what that means is when you hold individual stocks, something can happen to those companies. And if you only own like 30 of them, like this lady did, she didn't have as many stocks in her portfolio as she thought she did. She didn't know how many she had. She really didn't. When she found out how poorly diversified she was and the non-systematic risk in that a particular company or a set of companies, something bad could happen to them that causes those companies to go down that doesn't affect the rest of the market. So you end up losing money just because the small number of stocks you own are affected negatively by some economic event. She didn't know it till after my friend educated her about it. So she's looking at this and going, oh my goodness, this is crazy. She goes back to her credit. She goes back to the advisor and she goes, you realize you only have me in this many companies? And the advisor says, well, that's what I have everybody in. And she's going, well, what about small companies? No. She kept asking her questions that were pointed and educated questions. And that was it. Friendship, no friendship. It didn't matter. She recognized that things were not being done properly and she was done. And I thought, that is exactly what people need to do. They need to ask tough questions. Now, a question was asked me this week, and it was in relation to when you diversify, you will have some things that do well and some things that don't do as well. Like in the late 90s, I just got finished talking about the late 90s. You'll have U.S. stocks rocking like I talked about, huge returns in the late 90s, right? Then I walked you through how there was 40 to 50% losses, right, in the S&P 500 in the first 3 years of the decade of the 2000s. Now, during that same period of time in the late 90s, small international stocks had no return whatsoever. Zero. Zip. Now, that was rough. Now, of course, over the next 10 years, not of course, but now we know in hindsight, that over the next 10 years, you had small companies international tripling to quadrupling in value when U.S. stocks had no return whatsoever. But we didn't know that. Nobody knows that ahead of time. That's why you diversify. You diversify because you do not know what may happen in the future. You don't know what calamity may befall the earth, as Solomon said. So you diversify because you want to make sure that you own all kinds of different things that move in dissimilar fashion. That's the idea. So the client asks about CDs, going to pay him 5%. And you have some asset classes, international asset classes, that have about a 5%, 4% return the past 5, 10, even 10 years. You know, there are some asset categories that have not done as well in that particular area. And at least they had a positive return, but they're about the return of what CDs are paying now is my point, okay? So you look at it and go, why own CDs? Or why own international when CDs are doing this? And that wasn't necessarily a question, but it was close enough. And I said, look, think about it this way. You have CDs that are now paying 4 to 5%. Why? And the person said, well, inflation. Right. When did inflation become a problem? In the past year or two? Perfect. Exactly. So inflation became a problem. Now, if we look at 10 years running, what was the return of those same CDs? 1%, 2% maybe, tops. So the return is only recent. And what I'm looking at is 10 years of returns of the lowest performing asset class of international stock. Because you'll have lots of asset classes in international, 7 to be exact. But I'm cherry picking an asset category in international that had a poor return. Because the question is, why own that when I could own CDs now that do this? I hope you're following me here, okay? Really, really important that you get this. And I said, so if you look at that, if we look at the past 10 years, if we look at bonds, for example, different area, bonds, fixed income investments, where you borrow money, the rate of return for bonds is somewhere in the neighborhood in the shorter bonds of 1% to 2% per year. That's it. And you go, well, why would I own those bonds at that rate of return when CDs are paying 5%? Or you might have a high yield savings account of 4%. If you look at bonds right now, if you look at the rate of return over the past 10 years, yeah, it's the same return as other low return. But what do? People are making the mistake of looking at what currently CDs will pay in the future because they're telling you the future return. That 5% is what we will pay you if you put the money in here for right now. What are bonds paying right now? You have to look at what's called the yield to maturity. And without getting into too complicated a discussion, when interest rates went up, bond prices went down. So if I issue a bond at $1,000 and it will mature for $1,000 at some point in the future, let's say 5 years in the future, if interest rates go up as they have, the bond price will go down to maybe $900. Let's just use that as an example. It might go down to $900. Now, the coupon on it, the interest rate may still only be, because it was issued 3-4 years ago when interest rates were very low, the coupon may be 1% to 2%. But as long as you hold the bond, what happens to the price of the bond? Those of you that understand the bond market would say, Paul, the price goes back up to the price that it matures at, that $1,000. So it may be issued for $1,000, paying 1% interest, $10 a year. But then it will actually go back up to that level as long as the issuer doesn't default. That's the idea behind bonds. Now, if we look at that and we say, well, what's the yield to maturity? That's the future return. So you've got to be a little bit more discerning when you look at the CD interest rate of 5% and look at it and say, do I need to own those bonds that over the past 10 years only had a 1% to 2% rate of return? Well, yeah, because the yield to maturity for many of these bonds exceeds that 5%. But you wouldn't know that unless you looked at the price differential between what it's selling for right now versus what it matures for. I hope this isn't too complicated, because I really want you to understand this, because getting these little nuances is really important, because once you get those nuances, then all of a sudden now the investment advisor, the mutual fund company, or the bank in this case, we're talking about CDs, doesn't pull you off on a rabbit trail and get you to do something imprudent when the thing that you currently own is paying that much or likely to pay that much or even more as long as held to maturity. And who says that banks can't run into trouble? We saw banks run into lots of trouble. Right? Can we say Silicon Valley Bank? Can we say that, you know, we have FDIC coverage? Can we say that you can have some serious problems in your bank portfolio? Yeah, you can. Now, back to my international stocks. If we look at those and you look at the price of those stocks compared to the earnings, that's when you see what is called the earnings yield. And in many cases, in the asset category that I was referring to earlier, the earnings yield is, well, that's just if you don't have any growth in earnings. What earnings am I likely to get based on the analysis of those companies and the analysis of those markets for every dollar that I'm paying, or for a certain dollar amount that I'm paying? And the earnings yields on these, some of these things are well over 12%. Now, will the return be that? Who knows? Might be 40%. I mean, yeah, you see those international markets, sometimes I've seen 70% returns, 40%. You don't know. But the reality of it is when I look at CDs and I say something is paying a 5% rate of return with no risk, would any rational investor invest in something else that does have volatility or risk attached to it that would have an expected return that's lower than that? No, that's not rational. Because historically, what do we know? We know that fixed income investments have a much lower return versus markets in US, in international, in every country around the world, value, growth, international, US, small, large. Historically, fixed income investments have had a lower return because you're not putting up with anything. And this is just a little inkling of the education that once you understand this, it is hard to pull you off and have you make mistakes. Now, the earnings yield concept, I hope that's not too deep, but what I do is I get a dollar of earnings for, let's say, every $10 that I invested. My earnings yield is 1 divided by 10, 10%. Now, what happens to earnings? They go up and down and up and down. Hopefully, they grow over time, so the expected return on such an investment would likely be higher than that. Like, value stocks typically sell for 10 times earnings. So my earnings yield would be 10% plus growth in earnings. So historically, value stocks have had a higher return than that. But if we're looking at that and going, I don't know anything about that, I don't understand it, because nobody's ever explained it to me, I'm likely to get pulled off into a product sale. And that is why it's critical to get this stuff. Hey, this is Paul Winkler. Hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Investor Coaching Show. You want to learn more about what we do, go to our website, paulwinkler.com. You can watch some of the videos there, and if you're not already a client, you can set up a free initial consultation. Until next time, I'm Paul Winkler, reminding you that I believe that more educated investors are more confident investors, and confident investors are more successful investors. Have a great one. Advisory services offered through Paul Winkler, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. The opinions voiced and information provided in this material are for general informational purposes only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what investments are appropriate for you, please consult with a financial advisor. Paul Winkler, Inc. does not provide tax or legal advice. Please consult your tax or legal advisor regarding your particular situation.